This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Dan, hit that note again. Cool. Dave, chop that out and send me it when you get a chance, and I'll get to work on that.
What? We haven't got time for this.
Trust me, it'll be wicked.
Previously on the My Old Man Said podcast.
Phil noticed, I think he read the Guardian's match report of the Villa-Arsenal game. I think you flagged this up in Match Club, didn't you? So we thought we'd just go back just to, as a little, we used to do a Villa week in a Villa minute. So Chris can read out some of the highlights of this Guardian review. Who was it by?
Jonathan Liu.
Here's some of the snippets of his match report.
For a while, it felt like Aston Villa might have to settle in for a long and painful rear guard, at which point they seemed to come to a crucial realisation. They were better than Arsenal, and so, in a rampant, crushing climax, they set about proving it.
Oof, carry on, Chris.
Carry on.
As Jack Grealish and Ross Barkley began to run the game on strings, as Ollie Watkins picked off the two goals that would turn victory into a rout, Arsenal were stripped bare again and again. Beaten, not just on tactics and technique,
beat me,
but on application.
Rubbish.
Villa won their duels and won their second balls, leaving Arsenal choking in the dust. Again, it sprang from Grealish and Barkley, teasing the ball between themselves on the left wing. Unrushed and unconfronted, waiting for an opening to emerge.
Slide it in.
On the touchline, you could sense Arteta's sap beginning to rise.
Enough. Well, we can't
enough.
Go on.
I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
We're done.
Absolute smut.
Did he have Pornhub open on his laptop?
It's 50 Shades of Grealish.
It is, isn't it?
50 Shades of Grealish.
Best piece of business I can see in is Martinez coming in for Arsenal and Nets, because it's one of those. There was a rumour that Villa were interested in him, but there was still a bit of the season to go, and you saw him. He won the charity shield for Arsenal, and you thought, look at the performance he put in there. Arsenal are never going to be stupid enough to let him go.
FA Cup as well.
Yeah, but you just thought, Arsenal can't be that.
What do you mean, yeah? It's like FA Cup's bigger than the charity shield. It's like...
Not in Belfast, it's not.
Yeah, whatever. Since we had about 25 goalkeepers, I think getting Nealand off, I think we paid him off, didn't we?
Yes.
Was... Would that be considered, don't slag off players, so I'll get Tyrone Mings onto you.
Ooh.
Samatta has to be number one, because you sign him in January, you realise you've made a mistake.
Big
and then
mistake.
You still manage,
huge.
You still manage to sell him and make some, not make money, but you get some money back
for him. We
need
to check they're not chocolate coins, especially this time of year, because he was gash.
What did I tell you? I'm going to get Mings on you.
Three strikes, one more strike, and I'm sending Mings to your house.
Right then, let's get into the first of the top five players of 2020 that aren't Jack Grealish. These were voted on by Match Club members and our good selves. Coming in at number five, Mr. Ollie Watkins. Number four, another new boy, straight in, Mr. Martinez. And voted in to number three was our son, Mr. Trezeguet.
Part two of the unapologetic and dysfunctional Villa Christmas special.
Let's look forward to 2021. Who, I mean, maybe this is fruitless, maybe it's just hypothetical, but who potentially will be the phoenix from the flames from the current Aston Villa squad? A player that's going nowhere at the moment, who maybe that's not through a fault of his own, maybe he's injured, maybe he hasn't got any rhythm going, maybe he's just been too inconsistent, maybe he's just not getting in the first team. Who would be, for you, the 2021 phoenix from the flames? Phil Shaw, go for it.
I'm going to have to pick Engels, aren't I?
Bjorn again.
Yeah, I've run him down enough that whenever he comes good, I'll be the first person to say, I was wrong. You do have a brain.
So you're thinking that there's going to be a key injury to either Konsa or Mings. Engels going to come in, lead us to the Champions League qualification.
And then put in a transfer request.
So, Dan, who are you going for?
For me, it's probably someone who's been a bit of a phantom of late, and it'd be Conor Hourihan.
You think he... Because people are saying a year left in his contract.
I called him a League One player the last time I was on. So I need to...
Yeah.
And someone did tweet me about that.
Did they? Because I did repeat it just to...
Yeah, thanks for
extra resonance.
Yeah, thank you. I think, I mean, someone we didn't mention about how important on our survival, you know, I think he provided five assists.
Hourihan, he was massive.
Which he easily overlooked. He can't do anything else, by the way.
Let me throw something into the mix here. Remember when he got subbed off by Jacob Ramsey and he was pissed off?
Mm.
And now, against Wolves,
Ramsey starts
ahead of him. Double blow, double jab to the ribs by Smith.
We can't stand on sentiment. We've said this for numerous years,
yes,
haven't we?
But what I'm doing is I'm shooting down Dan Rogers' phoenix from the flames, because I'm thinking Smith's pushing Ramsey now, rather than he's had a look at Hourihan and he's thinking...
Well, Ramsey's a more rounded player, isn't he?
You're not at this. Yeah, you're not at this level for where we're going.
Yeah, I don't see Hourihan having any surprises now. I think we know exactly what he does very well, but we know he's limited as well for the way Villa now play. You've seen Villa at their most dynamic best, and dynamic's not something you'd say Hourihan is. He's great when the ball is static.
I think Dan's right. He'll have a great 2021 for Burnley.
Next to Ashley Westwood.
But this is it. I mean, you could say the same thing about Westwood if we were having the same conversation a few years ago. And he's had a decent career. I think, you know, Hourihan, you can't slag Hourihan off. We're not slagging him off because he's had a great career.
Mm. I mean, he's good at Villa.
Yeah.
He was great in League Two, League One.
Yeah, played at Wembley for Villa a few times.
I just think that there could be...
But I don't think Hourihan's going to get in the Champions League or into Europe.
No. But I do think his time will come this season. But based on what we saw at the back end of last, that there will be a moment through injuries or suspensions where we will need him to step up, I think.
I just think he's unlucky. I mean, I know Warren, I was joking about him going to Burnley, but I just think... He doesn't know the position he plays in the team, and I don't think any manager knows it either. I mean,
you see that
I'm
for Ireland as well, don't you?
He's almost like a Beckham-esque figure, only left-footed. He doesn't have the pace to get round somebody, but he has the ability to whip the ball round. So but we're not going to be building a team around him.
Because his future's in doubt a bit. He needs to diversify his revenue streams, like David Beckham, and start like promoting perfumes and eau de toilette.
Buy himself a football team.
And buy a franchise. Mr. Chris Budd, who are you going for?
I have a feeling big man back soon. He's going to have a big moment.
You've taken my choice, sir, because nobody sits down and creates a hashtag unless he's going to have a massive year.
I can just, do you know what I can see happening? I just, refer back to when we in the championship when Gabby came on against the Blues and it was his only thing he did. And I can just see Wesley having one singular moment this season and it's it'll be a massive goal.
Is it Origi for Liverpool?
Yeah. Yeah. He'll pop up in a massive game and score.
Charity Shield?
What, the FA Cup final?
Charity Shield, yeah.
Yeah, the Charity Shield.
But Phil, he scored a hat-trick in the cup final. Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Yeah. But I do agree with Dan on Horahan as well, but yeah, I think Wesley could have a big moment.
Right, well, that was a nice little section for some of the fringe players that have been forgotten somewhat in the last few weeks. I don't want to labour too much on this one because it brings me out in cold sweats, but top three VAR F-ups in Villa games. Let's start from the top. Which one's pissed you off the most? I think it has to be the West Ham one, or does it?
Yeah. I think because we'd missed the penalty as well, and just the way the game had gone in general, you thought, what else can go wrong tonight? Oh, fucking hell, great. His toenail was offside or something.
Yeah. Although
when it was actually a penalty.
Yeah, because the Brighton one, you can say, well, okay, he's offside.
I don't know. I was pretty pissed off whenever United got a penalty for Bruno Fernandes assault on Konsa. Yeah.
These just trigger me.
Is the West Ham one just because it's fresh? So do you think West Ham is the biggest fuck-up? I think it is, because that's the one where I thought, enough's enough. This needs to be sorted out. You can't have flaky decisions where you actually go to VAR to sort it out and give you the definitive answer and then to actually miss something as obvious as that foul.
The West Ham one's a really good example of what everything that's wrong with it. I don't think it's necessarily like you say that it's fresh or anything. It's just it misses the fact that Watkins is in a headlock. It overlooks the fact that his width of his shirt's offside. It's the things that VAR wasn't introduced for. Right up to things, you know, obviously it was a decision that benefited us, but the farce of the Nyland decision that he fell with the ball in his hands behind the line for the whole world to see, and no one corrected that.
Those two incidents prove that this protocol is completely wrong.
Yeah.
Because, but Hawkeye didn't bleep, so we can't give that as a goal. It's like, well, I'm sorry, but VAR can check quickly and they can say, yeah, the ball was over the line, by the way. Have a look on the fucking monitor.
Exactly. This is the second part of the issue. It's officiating as well.
It's not the technology. Officiating. It's the protocol of how it's applied. Yeah. Because that West Ham thing, how can you miss that foul? How can you miss that foul? It's ridiculous. It's like they're so obsessed. I mean, you know, if you cast your mind back to when it was like Terminator Vision, where those lines were going across the screen, trying to pinpoint. They were trying to find a reason to call it offside.
Yeah.
And they were so absorbed in that they completely missed the foul.
You know, right through to some of the innocuous things that I felt really sorry for Lamptey of Brighton a couple of weeks ago for the scent. You know, it's just lame.
So what are we going? One, West Ham, number two. Well, we'll go for the Nealon one because it was just ridiculous.
That was just the biggest farce, wasn't it?
And those Bournemouth fans are still crying about it. And number three?
Yeah,
United penalty. Yeah. We owe them.
We're going to whip their asses this season.
That's double figures.
Right then, we actually spoke a little bit about him already. This is now number two of the player of the year that isn't Jack Grealish. And it's that new
that samba tone from Dan.
That new, we haven't got any samba instruments, but it's that new Brazilian international, Mr. Douglas Luiz, who is now one of the linchpins of the Villa midfield. Shame he didn't turn up against Leeds, though.
There's always a but.
There's always a but with the My Old Man Said podcast. Give me a Louise highlight, Dan, Chris, whoever.
I like the Norwich goal, but actually in terms of the most important one was probably the equaliser against Watford from about 2 yards out. But at the time, Villa were floundering in that game and we kind of didn't look like we were going to score, and he absolutely smashed it in and then literally dived into the whole tent. It was a great celebration.
Yeah, no, that was good, actually. That was the last person to really do that wasn't somebody, you know, like Grealish or even Hutton, who had been at the club for a while. It was probably Libor Kozak. Funny enough, against Norwich as well, if my memory serves me right. And it's just good to see, like a player from another country. And Luiz, you looked at him, you thought, hey, he's a bit like, fancies himself, but he was in there and you just thought, I like this chap. I might watch him when he plays for Manchester City next season.
Might buy a shirt.
Yeah, well, His passing, if you remember his passing for the first half of the season, it was as if he was on the beach in Rio.
And it's he was wearing two Kleenex boxes for boots.
Yeah, off his knees and things like that there. And the other players were just looking at him as the ball hit them in the face.
And went over people's heads and stuff. And then all of a sudden, proper like Samba football.
Yeah, it was like tech ball.
I always remember it was the first game of last season, I think first or second that game at Villa Park, where he, for reasons only known to himself, stepped over the ball against Bournemouth.
I
think there was a deflected goal at the whole 10 for their second or first or second.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And that was the moment, it was a bit of an Adama Traore moment where you thought, oh, is he still a bit raw, this guy?
Yeah.
But as you say, that he has since learned how to play football. So.
And I think he's transitioned to a good, very good player.
Absolutely.
Very quickly as well. You know, you'd probably expect such a difference to happen over a couple of seasons, never mind within the space of one, I mean, albeit broken up season.
Mm-hmm. Well, it shows he had it in him. He just had to settle.
Yeah, the good thing about him is he's a player with ability that you know that when he gets the ball, anything can happen.
It's amazing what learning the language did. Suddenly people could tell him, don't do a step over.
Yeah. And something, I know Phil's mentioned it quite a few times about him, that he was the first one of our team, and we'd been saying it all season, to actually bring a bit of shit house to the team.
Oh, yeah, he's the dark arts very well.
Yeah, he does. He's great at that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something else as well. There's got to be something in the fact that you're playing alongside, and this is about our overall improvement, is when you're playing alongside a Barkley, it's a step up from playing up again, you know, when your midfield partner's marvellous Nakamba, isn't it? That's
not,
just
not
the fact.
Wanting to mention any names.
No.
And to get Mings on our case.
You're
on your last warning. You're on your last warning already within one podcast.
Dan, we've both stood next to him at Bodymore Heath. He's a lot bigger than us.
But you see on Twitter the abuse that Mings gets from other fans. I don't know whether it's an England thing or it's a bit odd.
When he first got England call up, there was a lot of sore, salty people about that.
Yeah,
fans from Bournemouth,
was
Wolves,
Reading as well.
Leeds.
There was an accidental one, wasn't there? Again, when he was at Villa, quite early on. That
anyway, we're digressing here.
Anyway, sorry, Mr. Mings, don't hurt me.
He's come into your house. I'm going to email, DM your address.
Yeah, don't let him stand in your face.
You want a red card as well, Phil Shaw? There's only Chris Budd and me with a clean slate with Mings at the moment. Right. So, Douglas Luiz. There's more to come from him. That's it. Hopefully, before he leaves.
when he goes and links
Champions
up
League
with
next year.
Phil Foden.
Anyway, let's move on. This is a special one-off award, special outstanding contribution award of 2020 for a dearly departed player who hasn't got a club at the moment. Unfortunately,
there is a reason for that.
Maybe his performances for Villa really kind of wasn't the greatest advert to be re-signed.
Yeah, the highlight reel's fresh in a lot of people's minds,
in their nightmares.
But we're giving an outstanding contribution, probably to the world of football, to Oylen Nieland. Is that how you pronounce it, Chris? I don't know.
This is
the last time I'll ever mention his name. But we're giving him an outstanding contribution award for single-handedly pretty much destroying Sheffield United, because since that day they haven't been the same since. And that whole incident where he managed to, he obviously didn't intend it, but the way he managed to bring the ball back, Keenan Davis kind of pushed him over.
Masterful.
But the way he managed to avoid Hawkeye's vision, and from all these different camera angles that they've got set up, and the way he did it, he managed to get away with it. And
the sleight of hand was quite...
Poker face, stare the referee down.
Perfect. Yeah. And, you know, ultimately, we escape relegation by the skin of our teeth, and we're thinking next season we've got to make sure there's three worse teams than us. So Nieland just psychologically crushed them to make them at least one of those worst clubs for the 2021 season.
If he truly wants to, I don't know if you can win this award 2 years running, but if he could join one of the bottom three clubs...
In January.
That would be... not only would he have the Hawk trophy, he would have the Eye trophy as well. And he would truly be... I mean, it's almost Hall of Fame. People talk about legends.
Yeah.
And we've covered
it's better than that, you know, the Super Bowl ring that you get, this award. And I think Nieland, if he can sign for Fulham, Burnley maybe.
Put the coffin in the baggies.
Yeah, baggies, actually. If old Sam Johnson gets
we'll
injured.
We'll take Sam Johnson as a fifth choice.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, you know, what the chain reaction that incident caused. You've suddenly got Sheffield United finishing that season in a whimper. They dropped like a lead balloon. I mean, they were fancying themselves for some kind of Europa League place, faded out of nowhere. During the summer, as a season, you know, in the build-up to the opening game when Villa played Sheffield United, old Wilder whimpering about that Villa had beat them to all his transfer targets like Watkins and Cash. And then 12 games played at the point of recording this podcast, and they've got 1 point, which... they're pretty much on the course for the worst ever Premier season ever. I mean, they could...
And by the way, we have tried ourselves to get that award.
We've given it a damn good go.
We gave it a very good go in 15-16
season. We had Jody and Lescott. They've gone and bought Rian Brewster.
Wow. They're not even playing.
For 20-odd million quid.
Because he scored a couple of goals in pre-season for Liverpool, and they thought, right, let's drop a ton of cash on that. We didn't get that Watkins guy. Let's get this chap instead. That was desperation.
Desperate.
That's a whole awful bit of business.
Desperate.
But
yeah.
I think, you know, it's a good bet. They could take Derby's record away from them. What was it, 15 points?
Isn't it 12?
Yeah, maybe 12, actually. 12, yeah.
Well, that'd be good for Wilder, anyway. Who falls into my Eddie Howe category.
Yep.
I like the
poster of him above my bed that I kiss every evening.
Actually, what I would consider good guys in this world of football, and I just like the way that Dan pulls the rug from underneath them.
Just another human.
They'll be on Christmas jumpers next year, Dan.
Yep.
Right, getting into the final categories, the final three, and also we will announce the winner of the Player of the Year. That's not Jack Grealish. Who could it be? It's getting interesting.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
How are we phrasing this one? This is the ghosts of Villa Christmas past 2020. Things that we hope that we will leave behind in the 2020 year of 2020. The first thing being about 60,000 Tanzanian Aston Villa fans who suddenly disappeared off the face of the earth after Samatta left for Turkey, which I think the Aston Villa social media department is still in recovery about. That was one of the greatest exoduses on social media I've ever seen. Where every time you refreshed the Aston Villa Instagram page, there was suddenly 10,000 missing as the Tanzanians fled back.
As missing as Samatta was whilst he was on the pitch. See ya. Enjoy Fenerbahce.
Right. Other things we will hopefully leave behind in 2020. I think... looking at what's happening in terms of the pandemic, I wanted to put fake crowd noise on the TV for live games in that category, but I think we'll be stuck with that. I quite like the transition into, even if it was just 2,000 fans, just to have that raw audio. You still got to hear the players. And
you can hear individual fans in the stands shouting, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, no, exactly. And
at Millwall, it was brilliant.
Yeah, maybe not a good example there. The Fulham guys clap though.
No, they clap politely, don't they? And they you can hear the rattle of their the rattle of the cake knives.
Hopefully now that we're actually reasonably good, or on the road to being reasonably good, it will be the end for a good few seasons that when Villa struggle, that the give the kids a chance tweet or comment on Facebook appears, which is something we always laugh about. So if you're doing that, know that you're being laughed at. Play the kids!
Not going to give Callum O'Hare a game.
Yeah, he's gone. Jacob Ramsey is as good as it's going to get until at least next season.
Listen, the Isaiah Osborne trophy will be awarded to someone soon. There's only so many awards we can do on this night.
Right, another thing that's going to be hopefully left behind in the year 2020 is the use of increasingly tenuous stats to justify Jack Grealish's legend status. Hopefully in 2021 we'll get some big boy double figure goals and assists for him to be judged on. And I think he'll get there, won't he? I think he's going to get double figures, goals and assists, you know, unless he gets some kind of stupid injury, but long-term injury. But I think he's going to get there. And then I think a lot of neutral fans have turned to his side now. I think it's mainly because he's had some decent shows for England. Mm. Yeah. So that toxicity against him on social media has kind of disappeared. I mean, you still get, you know, the usual...
Well, and Leeds fans have relaxed because they beat us.
Yeah. Playing, he's had more of a smile on his face this season than ever, I think, just because he knows that he's got tools around him.
He's got the tools. He's got the tools.
he's got people are more on his wavelength now, and he can truly thrive. So expect double figures in goals and assists is what we're saying here.
Yeah, he'll not be needing any pre-assist stats.
Yeah.
Anything else to add on Super Jack?
No.
I just hope we get a chance to do, you know, 50 Shades of Grealish again later in the season when we play Arsenal again.
Yeah, I think we will. I think we will.
50 Shades Darker.
50 Shades Darker.
Very, very good. Very good, Phil. And I can't wait. I need to prepare my Dan Rogers distances himself from the Mailmaster.
The views of the Mailmaster podcast are not necessarily the views of Dan Rogers.
Probably are.
The only final thing, do you want to leave this in 2020, or do you want it to continue a little bit longer in 2021? The fact that after waiting, how many decades is it? Five decades to return back to the Premier League? That is a joke, by the way. It's not bad maths. Leeds fans, they get back to the Premier League and suddenly they're not allowed to watch the team play. Certain irony there, but...
Anyhow, Chris Wilder, Bielsa. Has he won anything yet?
It's a strong
500
list.
Years as a manager who we're all supposed to bow down to like he's some sort of messiah. And he's got less points than Huddersfield after this. Oh, come on.
Yeah, I feel sorry.
I'm a fan, you can tell.
I mean, being serious in a football supporter context, and you kind of feel sorry for Leeds because they didn't have that great return moment. And if it's suddenly like a drip feed of like 2,000 fans yes. allowed back at Elland Road, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit lame for them.
Mm. Feel sorry for them.
In all seriousness, yeah. But, you know, life goes on. Right.
Funny when they get relegated as well.
Wait another 15 years, there's a generation of kids who've never seen Leeds play in the Premier League.
Just for pure comedy value, I'm going to scrap what I've just said about brothers in arms as football supporters. It's a shame. If they get relegated this season, it would be, and they never got to see their team in the Premier League, it would be too funny to ignore.
Yeah, basically what David is saying is in the true spirit of Christmas, you can fuck right off to the Championship.
Right, winner. Let's announce the winner of the Player of the Year that's not Jack Grealish. Are you surprised by the selection here? Or did it mirror your own thought? The winner is Mr. Ezri Konsa. What would you say Ezri Konsa's most outstanding attribute is?
His overall athleticism, I think. He's quick, he's strong, he's good in the air.
I think he's out of all the recent buys.
when you calculate it, oh, we've spent a little bit there. Mings, ooh, Watkins. I think he's the one that might, in terms of value, if it's a stock exchange of players, he's the one that we're looking. We've trebled his value.
He's definitely in profit, isn't he, now for him? I mean, at the time, you're thinking, was it 12 million quid for a championship centre back? You're thinking,
But he was one who very few people could honestly hand on heart say they'd even heard of. And he...
Well, you knew of him, but you didn't really, rationalise him as anybody.
But if you'd have, had a tombola full of bloody names for defenders we'd have bought, I think you'd have been hard-pressed to have pulled him out. And he's, as we said earlier on, that he slots in really well. And I think if his development continues the way it is, you're in a position where you're not scrapping around for a half-decent defensive partner for Mings, that actually you've got someone who's comparable and who they complement one another, don't they?
And Konsa will be in the ear of Smith saying, now I'm the main man, can you partner me with Engels, please, instead of that Mings? Mings gives me a little heart attack once every game.
A bit stampy. He's snappy. He's snappy on social media as well.
that's your third and final warning.
I'm sorry. He's a very good player and definitely England material.
So, which begs me to ask, is Konsa England material? Is Konsa a threat to Mings in terms of England?
He can be.
I think he is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's very steady and very assured, isn't he? He's got international.
And you look at the other options England have got, and you wouldn't say there's a standout centre back at the moment.
I mean, Maguire's
injuries,
the one.
Form, and defensive liabilities. You think, well, Joe Gomez is inconsistent. John Stones is inconsistent. Harry Maguire is. Mings has got a mistake in him. He's worth a shout, isn't he? Potentially not for this tournament, but future friendlies. And then I think you'd be confident if he got his chance, he'd take it.
And by the way, Konsa actually stormed to number one in terms of the voting. What we did, we asked people to vote for their top five players in order that aren't Jack Grealish. For their top choice, 5 points. Second choice, 4 points, working down. And Konsa hammered... He was well clear of Louise in second place, second to fourth, pretty close. So, it's always good to have two decent centre backs, and that's the starting point. And now the full backs seem to have sorted out.
I mean, it wasn't so long ago we didn't have any centre backs at the football club.
Yeah, we had Mila Jedinak.
Well, yeah,
Tommy Elphick. Mm.
We had to call him back, didn't we, on New Year's Day?
There have been strange periods in team selection across Villa in recent memory. Like, there was a period where we didn't have a right back. Mm. That was Martin O'Neill years. You don't have to go that far back to only last season, where we were playing without a centre forward as well under Smith. Mm-hmm. And then we signed Samatta and we were still playing without a centre forward. Sorry, Mings, I didn't mean to. He's not at the club anymore. We're all right. We can say something about him.
Okay.
All right, that wraps up. So congratulations to Ezri Konsa. Hopefully he will get better and better and better. And we'll sell him to Liverpool for 80 million to replace Van Dijk.
Thanks for the cash.
No, I mean, if this Villa team goes places, these are the players that you need to progress. Mm. You Douglas Luiz, you need him to stay and progress. Ezri Konsa, you need to progress. Mings, just cut out that madness, 1 minute moment of madness every game. Grealish stays. The thing is, the Barkley thing, I think we just enjoy him for the season and then we see what happens after. But we can beat teams without Barkley, and that was the good thing against Wolves. I mean, I think we should have beaten Brighton and West Ham without him as well. But, they're living and learning. Right, to wrap off this Christmas special and look back at the year that was 2020, we're going to have a look at five reasons to be cheerful, which used to be a column on the My Old Man Said website. 5 years to be cheerful going into the year 2021. I think I'm going to kick off. Number one, we're not getting relegated. Can I get Can I get some rubber stamps on that, please?
How many points have we got? Let me just do the arithmetic.
Remember how we said there's no way we're going to get promoted?
Mm. Listen, tell you what, I wouldn't have put that as number one if Wolves had beaten us.
No. Listen, I like to bring up we haven't had our 15-game losing run yet. What's the... You people are blinkered. The excitement is yet to come.
Well, it started, but then it stuttered.
Nah, it'd be fine. And well, if I mean, then the second reason to be cheerful is that we're obviously going to finish higher than Arsenal, but that just means that they'll finish second bottom.
Yeah, there is that possibility at this moment. Right, any other reasons, Phil? What's going to make you cheerful, finally, in 2021? Any ideas?
Well, we already have a lone player from Chelsea, so there's not going to be a repeat of last January when the loaf of bread rolled up and... in the form of Danny Drinkwater and got run through against Man City.
And a few other people.
We certainly went through the spectrum of potential Chelsea loan players within two windows, going from Drinkwater to Barkley. Mm. I think the Drinkwater deal was just to establish a relationship with Chelsea. It was the long game. It was the collateral, wasn't it?
Listen, if you want anyone good, you've got to take this pile of turd first.
Other reasons, I would say, I mean, when the FA Cup draw was made, I thought, excellent, this is another chance to beat Liverpool by 5 goals again in the FA Cup. So looking forward to that game. Don't know how the teams will, you know, Jurgen Klopp still bitching about fixtures, but there's a break, isn't there, on the Champions League side of things?
There is, but there's a lot of Premier League games around the FA Cup. That January, they've got like an extra midweek round of matches and stuff.
But Smith also will rest players as well, so it could be kind of Frankenstein monsters teams, you know, half reserves.
Yeah, it could be a bit of a non-event, couldn't it?
Half under-23s, yeah. Or Klopp could say, right, enough of this. We must beat
these lot.
We must beat them by 10 goals to make up for those two games. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, oh, you know, it's always good to have an opportunity if we beat them there. I mean, I know in the eyes of Phil Shaw, the FA Cup is a lesser competition.
You've got to win it, but, Phil, if you're going to win your Charity Shield.
Yeah, we need to win it to qualify for the Charity Shield. Just remember that, Phil. Just remember.
Oh, yeah. And then we all get a trip to Wembley in August. Oh, another sunny day out.
Ooh. Yeah, the annual trip. I mean, obviously, they've got to kill a global pandemic first, but, you know.
Didn't bother us in March when we all traipsed down.
Super spreaders from Birmingham.
One last hurrah.
Yeah, isn't it bizarre that was the last game that most of us went to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was in the air as well. I mean, not literally in the air, but... but, I mean, I haven't caught it yet, touch wood. I haven't made many risks in terms of COVID. I've played the lockdown card to the letter, but that was the only time I was out with 100,000 people.
Absolutely insanity when you look back.
But that was still the early days. I mean, the insanity was all those Atletico Madrid fans coming, 5,000 coming over to Liverpool, and suddenly Liverpool was a hotspot. I wonder why. Because Spain at the time was, number one in Europe. Yeah, it was like raging. Another chance to play Liverpool. And this is the thing, these cups, if you can get to Wembley and it's a day out, then it's the cups are relevant still to supporters. But if we the FA Cup, when there's no fans allowed in the stadium, and I'm thinking more for the lower league teams who get their big day when they get that dream tie against Manchester United or Liverpool and no fans can go. I mean, it kind of devalues the FA Cup to the point of nothingness. So win or lose against Liverpool, it's almost a non-event, isn't it?
Unfortunately.
I mean, the only joy I'll get out of that is if we beat them by 5 goals again.
Or more.
I just love the fact that we can talk about this and it's actually plausible.
It was a thing that happened.
Because we've done it twice before in the last year. It's a glorious thing. Right, you got a choice here for the fifth and final reason to be cheerful in 2021. These aren't very strong choices, I would say. Final reason to be cheerful going into 2021. Henry Lansbury's contract expires.
It's a positive.
I'd miss him, to be honest.
You'd be the only one.
The laws of probability means that Trezeguet must score sooner rather than later.
Positive.
That is a positive because he has to score. You can't miss 7 chances in one game and then not score in the next 5 games.
He's going to come to the party again in a big game.
Yeah.
I'll remind you of this in the 15th consecutive defeat.
Unless he's reset himself with a bang in the head.
Yes.
Right. Well, we were trying to get 5 reasons to be cheerful there.
Not typical Phil.
Will, finally, I'm going to ask you one question to finish off this Christmas show. A bit slow on the bells there. as you'll know, former Aston Villa manager Gerard Houllier passed away at the age of 73 recently. One thing that his passing did register was actually that's his season where we finished ninth, where unfortunately he had a heart attack and couldn't complete the season, but we did finish ninth. That's the last highest place we've finished. Mm. We've never finished higher than that ninth spot since. So my question to you, will we eclipse that this season? Phil Shaw.
I think we'll equal it.
Now, talk about sitting on the fence.
Mm. We'll finish ninth. That's great compared to what we were saying at the start of the season.
Talking about sitting on the fence, Chris Budd.
No.
Oh, Dan Rogers. Ever the optimist? Oh, no. I forgot about your 15-game losing streak.
I think we'll finish eighth.
So you're saying we're going to beat it. I think we're going to beat ninth as well, mainly because of hashtag big man coming soon. So that's, what's that? Two say yes, one says we'll equal it, and one says no. But I think that is the realistic target, actually, to get above the Houllier ninth and see what happens. I mean,
if we were to eclipse that this year, you'd say that's an unbelievable season and Smith would be close to manager of the year.
Hmm.
From where we were to where we would be enormous, wouldn't it? We'd be in the Intertoto Cup places as well.
Yeah, because that Houllier, well, I don't think so.
No, what?
They don't bring back those ghosts. The Houllier year was a strange one because we'd gone from, well, you know, sixth every season to then it was flirting with relegation. And it was only because we won those last two games against Liverpool and Arsenal in the last two games. And that just pole vaulted us up a good few places. When in a relegation scrap was, that was how the season felt overall until, getting the respite.
Yeah, we were clunky all season and never really got going.
Well, this season, we've been bright and bushy at the start. So that's why I'm thinking, I'm looking around that league table and I'm thinking, well, if we can just stay relatively injury-free and do get a bit more depth, and we'll get that automatically with Heaton and Wesley coming back. And if, you know, people like Al Ghazi contribute, Horahan contributes, then, top 10 should be on the cards. Right. Anything, final words for 2020? Anything to say apart from F off?
That's probably a good way to put 2020. It can't it? It's been obviously not a too serious a note, but it's obviously been quite a difficult year for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Both, you know, in the Villaverse and, you know, the wider local community and global community, really. So, obviously hope everyone has a better year next year.
I'd just say, from a Villa perspective, a year on from where we were before, sees massive improvement, and we're in far better shape. I think we can look forward, whereas before we were probably looking downward nervously.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're talking about, well, can't speak for other people, but to say that we'd be disappointed with a bottom half finish, well, that's got to be taken as a positive. And I'm interested to see how far this team can go this season.
And the fact that we'd feel disappointed to finish below Arsenal as well is
I'm really interested in January to see how much the owners say, let's go for it, let's bring in the cavalry.
I don't think there'll be fireworks. I think there's more chance if we win, let's say, two or three games to end this month, and we're suddenly in the top six, and then you're thinking, possibilities here.
I can see there being one surprise, though, that people might not expect, and we go, oh, fucking hell, we weren't expecting that one. What a great player.
Yeah, because Barkley loan deal hinted at there's a bigger spectrum that the club's owners are actually looking at here. Also, a good thing about 2020 was the creation of Match Club, which has brought us a lot of new friends and a way to communicate while the games are on.
Thanks to everyone who's joined us in there.
Yeah, to compensate for, you know, the laughs that you have during the 90 minutes and after the game when you're leaving the stadium or whatever. We've replicated that in some kind of fashion, and sometimes it's been therapy. I mean, a lot of positives from that, because there we were, Project Restart, looking like this was all like a therapy session back into the Championship. But we had a great result there, surviving and enjoying it with everybody. And then also we've enjoyed Grealish's England debut, and then just crazy events.
I mean, the person
crazy events like 7-2.
Yeah, with Jags just with losing his voice going, 7-2.
So if you haven't become a Myomancer patron, please do join us for the year 2021, where you'll get access to Match Club and also something a little extra. We're revamping the extra shows that you get, and there'll be a whole new channel to provide you with a show once the technicalities get sorted out. Nothing to do with me. I know what I'm doing. It's just other people. But look out for that, and please do go to myomansaid.com, check it out, and join us for the new year, where hopefully we'll all in Match Club at least go on another adventure.
Hopefully we can dust off our passports later in the year.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Considering Germany and Holland are in lockdown, complete lockdown at the moment, so don't get the duster out just yet.
A Europa League trip to Kazakhstan it is then.
Right, anyway, thank you very much to Phil, Dan and Chris for joining me to reminisce over the year that was 2020. Merry Christmas to you all. Hope you have a good day. And until next time, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Merry Christmas.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.